you're close, but not all the way there. I think it's something to do with the computer, not that.
Yes.
So striving together, meaning as a church that we're supposed to be working together for a certain cause and a certain reason. Scripture says, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, there is a number of different metaphors, you could say, that describes the body of Christ or describes those that are called out body of believers. There's the bride of Christ. It's called the flock. It's called the building of God. But one of the most common ones is when it's referred to as the body of Christ. Now, there we go. Nothing's ever easy, doesn't seem like. So thank you, Mr. Greger. This one last announcement I forgot to mention is that this week I'm going to be at a conference. Missionary Alan Berry will be preaching for us on Wednesday night, and Mr. Rick Greger is going to teach a Sunday school lesson in here next Sunday to help me because I'll be gone most of the week. So you'll be praying for me at the conference. I'll also be interviewing someone about the assistant pastor job too. So we've always been looking. I interviewed somebody this past week, so it's something we're continually looking for, just making sure it's the right fit and what's what God wants. So it's not something that we keep on the back burner, but we're just waiting for God to answer the prayer instead of us making something happen. So striving together as the body of Christ. So there's a metaphor that's called, and the idea that described a group of the body of believers. Now, the body of Christ, I believe, in most cases, as you look in the scriptures, referring to a local body, a local church body. Here in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, it refers to that in a couple different places. It also refers to that in Romans chapter number 12. The function of the local church is to carry out the will of Jesus Christ, pointing men and women to him and serving him as his agents in this world. We are not for ourselves. We've been bought with a price. The Bible says here in this theme verse of the whole series that ye stand fast in one spirit. We've talked about unified, with one mind, talking about we should have the same vision and we're working towards the same goal, striving together, that in a church idea inside the body of Christ is something we're supposed to be working at. It's something that we actually is given the idea that we're striving towards something, we're working towards something, we are pushing ourselves towards something. We push ourselves for something in this world. We're passionate about certain things, but are we passionate about the things of Christ? And then it says, for the faith of the gospel. These are the things that we're striving for. It's not an actual person. Don't do things for me. Because when I disappoint you, you know what's going to happen. You're going to stop doing them. Don't do things for someone else. Don't do things just, you know, have your relationship with Jesus Christ. See the point of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the importance of it, and then strive for that. Now, that does, throughout that, you develop relationships. And throughout that, you do things. You work alongside with somebody. And that's the idea of striving together. And the body of Christ gives us this thought, this idea about how Christ began his work in this physical body. Now he continues his work through his spiritual body, the church, that we do the work of Christ. He does his work through us, through the Holy Spirit of God. He uses our hands, our feet. And the body of Christ, there's a couple great chapters. Romans chapter number 12 has a lot of good things about it. It says, Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member is one of another. So it's there saying that we're many together, different groups of people, but we're all in one body in Christ. Ephesians 4, 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So when we're talking about striving as the body of Christ, we're saying, hey, okay, what does that mean for me? How do I work and how do I fit into the local New Testament church? What is it that I'm supposed to do and how am I supposed to strive together? So here's a couple things. Jesus explained to his disciples in John chapter 14 through 16 that upon his departure, the Holy Spirit would come into their lives, enabling them to fulfill his will as they labored in the ministry of the New Testament church. So in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're giving an example that describes this local body and describes the body of Christ and the different functions that are in it. And the first thing I want you to see about this, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us the work. Now, in a perfect world, if we had lots of times, we'd probably read through the whole entire chapter to begin with and then begin teaching from there. But because we have a lot of things we want to cover today, we're going to take it one step at a time. Here we're going to look at verses 4 through 11 and establish this principle. It's the ministry of the Spirit. It's not our ministry. Sometimes people get too attached to their ministry here at Faith Baptist Church or somewhere else and say, well, not my ministry. You're not going to do that in my spot. You know, we got to remember, we're striving together. We all have a certain purpose. We all have a certain reason. There is an overseer. There is importance of working together as a functioning body. It's not our ministry. It's the ministry that we're doing for the Lord. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and hopefully it'll start making a little bit of sense. Verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, different people have different gifts. Different people have different talents and different abilities. God's given different people gifts. But remember, they all come from the same Spirit. Any spiritual gift you have, it has come from God. It's not because of who you are. It's not because of where you grew up at. Now, that might help tweak your gift, but the spiritual gifts that you have come from the Lord. And he says in verse number 5, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There's different ways of administering the gifts, but there's still one God. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So many times when people start saying, I have this talent and I have this gift and I have this ability, we should never forget that it all comes from the Spirit of God. It's the ministry of the Spirit. He provides the miracle of unity. You know, what do you mean? Well, God calls certain people to churches. And that's why I think it's important that you get to a church and you be a part of a church. And he brings these people together for a certain purpose and a certain reason. And it's a miracle how God can take certain individuals from certain places, accomplish certain things for his cause. And you go back to that first century church, that first New Testament church that was there, and day of Pentecost, how those thousands of people, they agreed, they worked together, they prayed together, they had for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a miracle that how people can all work together from different areas, from different facets of life, different skill sets, different intelligence levels, different abilities, different financial things from different areas of the world, and they can all come together and they can work together. It's the miracle that happens with Jesus Christ, but it's done through the Spirit of God. It is a true miracle that people that are so different can function together in such unity. Look what it says in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's a miracle in my mind that there's so many different people, they can function together in unity. You know, we might not agree on your favorite sports team. We might not agree on political issues. We might not agree on how kids should be raised in some areas or how things should be done. It's amazing how different people can have different opinions, but when it comes to the work of Christ and it comes to the work of God, we can agree on the importance of it. So many things about us are different. Some of us have different backgrounds. Some of us have different personalities. Some of us have different strengths. Some of us have different weaknesses. Yet there is one thing that we have in common. We've been placed in the family of God by the Holy Spirit of God. And as that, he has given us a purpose and a reason. One preacher put it this way. God does not expect unanimity. He expects unity. Unanimity, which means that you're going to agree on every single thing. You're not. We're not going to always agree on every little thing. Some people think that some of my standards are too high. Sometimes people think my standards for the church is too low. Some people think that we should stop doing this and start doing this. You're not going to always agree on preferential things. But there is one thing we can all agree on, is the conclusion of the matter, is what needs to happen for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that conclusion is that he should be lifted up. We're going to never always be the same in personality. We're never always going to be the same that and going to agree on everything. But the devil is the one that tries to create division. When differing people gather around one body of doctrine, they read from one Bible, and they walk in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, that unity can be found. And the cool thing is, not only does he have this idea of miracle of unity, but he also provides giftedness. which means he gives us gifts. Look what it says in verses 8 through 11. It talks a little bit about the different gifts. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another by faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The amazing things here is he gives us certain gifts. These gifts are given by the grace of God, first and foremost. We need to remember that. It's by the grace of God that we have these gifts. Go ahead and take your Bibles, if you like, to Romans chapter number 12. In Romans chapter number 12, once again, we're reminded something. Hey, God's the one that's given me this gift, and that's who I should use it for. God's given us a gift, and God can take the gift away. And as part of the body of Christ, he's given us all a gift for a reason and a purpose. In his wisdom, the Holy Spirit has given us a wide variety of different gifts, like the pieces of a complicated puzzle, how they all work together and fit together. God has joined us together for a certain purpose and reason. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12, and look at verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be done. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we saw some temporary gifts, some things that are mentioned like tongues and the gifts of healing. Those are things that were sign gifts back in the Bible times and in the first century church to show people that they were sent from God. Now here in Romans chapter number 12, you got an explanation of different gifts that are present in the day and time we live at today. You think of what it says first in verse number 6, it talks about prophecy. Prophecy gives the idea of the gift of preaching and being discerning when you're preaching the word of God. The second thing you see here is not only preaching and prophecy, it talks about ministry. It carries the idea of helping and serving. The third thing you see here is teaching, and it carries the idea of helping others understand truth. Then you understand exhortation, gives the idea of encouragement. Giving talks about generosity. Ruling talks about the idea of administration. Mercy talks about the idea of compassion. So all those things that are given together, God gives certain gifts to certain people for certain reasons. Everybody at least has one gift. And you figure out what that gift is and use it to God's glory. The gifts are also chosen by God's will. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and look in verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 11 teaches us that it's all by the will of God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 11 says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So God's saying, I've given you the gift that I want you to have. Now, who knows better than God? No one does. Think about what it says in Romans. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? And you think about what that scripture says. You know, if you created something, then you turn around, the creature begins to tell the creator, hey, you made a mistake. You should have given me a good singing voice. Hey, you should have made me a preacher. You should have made me somebody that is more generous or someone that's more merciful. You know, the gifts that God's given us, there's a reason and purpose behind them, and they come from the will of God. I know this first point might be a little bit hard to understand or maybe a little hard to listen to, but it's the whole purpose of the message is we're supposed to strive together, and God's made us the way we are, and he's the one that put us together. He provides a miracle of taking people from different areas, but we have to learn to work together. When someone inside the body says, hey, I don't think I'm important, there's a problem. When someone inside the body says, hey, I'm not going to be doing any type of work, I'm giving up, I quit, there's an issue. And that's what the scriptures begin talking about here. It's the metaphor of the body, the metaphor of the body. And these are some interesting verses here. the metaphor of the body. First thing I want you to think about, we are many, and yet we are one body. We are many, yet we are one body. Look what it says in verses 12 through 14. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but it's many. This is the picture that he gives here, the metaphor he uses as a body of Christ. We're encouraged to find oneness and unity, and we've talked about that. But Jesus, when he saved us, he saved those that were bond and those that were free, those that were Jew and those that were Gentiles. And there is many people that make up our church, but we're still working together as one body. And I don't know how many people are from the South. You know, raise your hand. Anybody from the South? How many people are from the North? Isn't that wonderful? You got more northern people than southern people. I had somebody yesterday tell me, if I was from the north, I would understand. And I said, where am I from? He said, if I was a Yankee, I would understand. I said, you talk to the southern people, they call me Yankees. And you talk to the Yankees, they call me Southern. So being in Maryland, nobody wants me, which is okay. I could care less. But we're many different members, but we're all part of one same group that God's organized and put together. We are mistaken when we compare one another inside the body. Look what it says in verses 15 and 16. And here's where the lesson's going to start opening up for you a little bit. It says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, I know that these are simplistic things, but if the foot could talk and say, you know what, I really want to be a hand. And if I can't be the hand that I want to be, I'm not going to do anything. Now, how stupid does that sound? That sounds pretty, it's never really happened to me, but I know sometimes our bodies don't work the way we want them to. You know, I know some of the older people are, yeah. You know, you're telling your body to go, but your body looks at you and say, I don't think so. Yeah, you should be able to do this. And they're like, no, you can't. It's sort of like your mind is telling you, hey, I want you to do this, but your body's not agreeing with you. Now, let's bring this together into the house of God. You know, that's what the idea is talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about, I believe in this passage and referring to those, is talking about the local church here, is that there are people that God has made, and he's made them and given them certain gifts, and say that gift is a hand gift. And then you have some that have the foot gift, and the foot saying, hey, I always wanted to be the hand. I always wanted to have that gift. I always wanted to do those things. But because I'm not allowed to do those things, or I'm not made to do those things, I'm not going to do the thing that God's made me to do. There's a problem there. And he say, well, would anybody say that? It's sort of like saying, if I can't teach a lesson like I think I should be able to, I'm not going to be able to serve in the choir. You know, God might not have given you the gift of teaching. God might not have let it upon the heart of the pastor to have you teach. You want to remember, if you have a good pastor, he's being led by the Holy Spirit of God. And sometimes you might not always agree, but we're still part of one body and we're still working together. And, you know, the eye and the hearing, I think, is kind of interesting here. Because you say, well, I could do without a foot. You don't want to have to do without a foot. But you think it continues on. He says, but if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body? Yes, because the ear says, all I get to do is listen. And sometimes people don't like to listen. He says, I like to see. And once again, there's ministries that are given here and there's gifts that are given here inside a body, and they're comparing. And when you compare one another, it's a mistake. When you sit there and say, if I can't be the person that gets to lead the singer, or God never gave me that gift to preach, or God never gave me that gift of encouragement, God never gave me the gift of giving, you know, because God never gave me those things, I'm going to ignore the gift that God has given me, and I'm not going to use that gift. I'm going to take that gift, and I'm going to hide that gift. That's a mistake. God made you for a certain reason, and who are we, as we learned in the last slide, to tell the Creator what we should be? You know, he's the one that's created us. He's the one that's made us. He's designed us for a moment such as this. He has made you for this moment and this time, for this place, to do a certain work, and he's given you gifts. Don't sit there and say, okay, yeah, I got a gift of this, but it's not as cool as the other gifts. That's ridiculous. You're questioning God. You're looking at God and saying, hey, why didn't you make me this way? It talks about the potter and the clay many times in the Bible, and it gives the idea that the potter takes and he makes the clay, he forms the clay. But how scary would it be if the clay looked at the potter and say, hey, why'd you make me this way? I really wanted to be a pot. I didn't want to be a cup. You know, why didn't you make me a vase instead of a plate? And that would be crazy. But that's what we do when we say to God, God, I think you made a mistake here. I have this gift, but I didn't want this one. I wanted a different one. So because of that, I'm going to take my gift and I'm going to hide my gift and I'm not going to use my gift because I'm unhappy with the way that God made me. Now, how foolish does that sound? But that's what they're talking about here. If we're going to strive together as a body of Christ, it is a mistake when we start comparing ourselves within the body and saying, boy, I wish I had this, or I wish I had that, or I wish I could do this, I wish I could do that. And don't get me wrong, we can always grow and can learn. We can appreciate one another, and we can be thankful, and we can pray to God and ask God to give us the talents and the abilities that could help us serve in a certain area if God's laid that upon your heart. But we should also be satisfied and happy with the way God has made us. Yes, always growing in the grace and knowledge of God. And I think sometimes God enables us to do certain things. Sometimes when the foot is saying, hey, I'm not going to do my job, somebody's going to have to pick up the foot's job. I remember Pastor Thompson one time preaching on this passage of scripture, and he said, we got some hands doing foot's work because the foot isn't doing what they're supposed to. It's not getting done as good as it could be done, but it's getting done because of the fact that the people that have that gift are saying, I'm not going to use it. I have this ability, I have this talent, but I'm not going to use it because I'm comparing it with someone else, and my job isn't as important as somebody else's. So because my job isn't as important as somebody else's, then I'm going to stop doing mine. Well, then those that are doing the work has to pick up the slack for somebody else. When we say it's a mistake, when we start comparing ourselves in there, it's important to realize God's created us all for a certain purpose and certain reason. Be happy and thankful for the way God created us and serve the Lord. There's no greater call in life than to serve God. And we are mistaken when we compare. As we occupy our place in the body, we must avoid the temptation of fixing our attention on the other members of the body. Some are distracted and look at others in comparison. They judge, they resent, and they're jealous. When I make this mistake, I render myself ineffective in my role and my responsibility. If my eyes are on someone else and their gifts, my eyes are no longer on Jesus. It doesn't take a medical surgeon to understand that every part of the body is important, regardless of his size, shape, or function. They're all important, and we must remember that. If we're going to accomplish what God wants us to do, we have to strive together for that. Next thing, you think about it, we are made purposely unique for the body. Look what it says in 17 through 20. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members. Once again, God is the one that created it. If you have a problem, talk to him. Members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. You know, this is God working his will out, the things that have pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Once again, there's a description there, and there's the illustration that's so easy. It says, if we were all an eye, then where's the hearing going to come from? If we were all hearing, then where's the smelling going to come from? If we were all preachers, then, who's going to sit and listen? Because we're all going to be preaching. If we all had the gift of exhortation, there's things and there's reasons, and we were made uniquely for these purposes. There is one job for me to do within the local body. I was specifically put here by God to do that job. No one is uniquely equipped to do that job as I am. If I don't accomplish a job God has for me, the church will not reach its potential and God will not be pleased. The gifts and ability that God has invested in my life are a stewardship to be used for his glory, his pleasure, and his purpose. Think about that. If what the scripture is saying here is true, and God has designed me uniquely for a certain job and for a certain purpose, that means that there is a job within this local body for me. It means I've been specifically placed here at this church for a reason. Now, I think that's true. You might say, oh, Pastor, that's not true. I think you're looking at it the wrong way when you come to a church. We come not to just learn and grow, but also to serve the Lord. And I've been placed here in this body for a reason and a purpose. No one is uniquely equipped to do that job as I am. God has a specific purpose for each of us to do. And he's saying, okay, I designed you for this purpose. Once again, somebody else could do it. Yes. And so many times that's what I hear. Oh, somebody else can do that. But if God wants you to do it, then he's designed you that way. Sort of like our cleaning schedule. And we still have a cleaning thing out there. Sometimes people wait till the middle of January just to see if somebody else will sign up. And if they've been doing that for years, I understand that. And I appreciate all those that help clean. But sometimes we'll just say, well, somebody else can do that. Well, if God's spoken to your heart about it and God wants you to do it, then sign up to do it because that's what he wants you to do there. He said, well, it's not something as great. You know, everybody has a certain role and a certain purpose. And yes, many times we have many roles and many purposes. If I don't accomplish the job God has for me, the church will not reach its potential and God will not be pleased. And I say, that's a little rough. No, if we're going to all work to reach the potential that we have in serving the Lord, it means that we're all going to be doing what God's called us to do. The gifts and ability that God has invested in my life are a stewardship to be used for his glory, his pleasure, and his purposes. Now, think about it. We are meant for one another within the body. Look what it says in verse 21. So, well, where do you get that from? Look what it says in verse 21. It says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand that I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And you think about what the scripture is saying here, is we need one another. As it said in Romans, it talks about that no one liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. It also says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And you see here a little bit more that we're meant there to be for one another. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And once again, it amazes me when some people look at themselves and they say, I don't know how you're going to have this church without me. I don't know how you're going to make it through if I left. You know, there's something wrong with that. It's God's church. And if we're going to strive together, that means God's one's going to take care of it. And I was foolish in the past when I've saw other people leave. I remember specifically one case, someone that left many years ago. And I went to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. And I was new. I don't know what we're going to do. And you know what? And the Lord, within just a month or so, the Lord had provided a couple of new families at the church. And they were willing to serve and willing to work. And the Lord taught me something that day. It's not about an individual. If one individual leaves, God's work's still going to be done. That one person has to be accountable for what they did, but at the same time, God's going to have somebody else do it and somebody else do it, but we're never going to reach our full potential until we all strive together for the cause of Christ, until we're all working together. And we've been intended to work together as one body. Don't ever look at somebody and say, they're not important. Their job is not important. It's sort of like the head looking at the foot and saying, hey, you can leave. We can handle this without you. And that's just not true for the whole body. And so, think about the word. The next thing is the members of the church. I know you hear this word member, and you think about it. Oh, yeah, people hold a membership in a country club, or people hold a membership in this or that. Don't discount the word member of a local church. We should never underestimate the significance of a relationship. This means that we are spiritually connected not only to one another, but also to the Lord Jesus Christ. When God brings you to the church, you're spiritually connected to one another through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've become a part. Romans chapter 12 once again says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of the other. There's a myth that comes about with the members. Look what it says in verses 22 through 24. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. You know, God's ways are beyond our ways. God's ways are some ways that we cannot figure out. We tend to estimate someone's value on their appearance, their abilities, and their affluence. But God, on the other hand, places great value on each member of his body. You look and you see in verses 22 through 24, they're saying, hey, look, there's certain jobs that people think are more honorable. There's certain things that people think are more important. But what the scripture is saying here is that is a myth, that those uncomely parts, those uncomely things are things that deserve abundant comeliness. Those things that most people look at and turn their nose up, those are things that are important and needful inside the body. And I don't know what you think, well, maybe I don't really need a foot, or maybe I really don't need a hand, but God has created our body to be dependent for one another and to work one another and help one another. And the same thing he does inside of a church. God places great value on each member of his body. Paul uses the human body to help us understand that, in fact, sometimes the least favored members are the most crucial. Just ask yourself, if you were in need of both surgeries and you needed maybe something, a really badly needed nose repair to help you breathe versus having a quadruple bypass, which one would be most important? They both would be very important. Why is that? Because every member inside the body is important. Sometimes the most prominent members are guilty of being unavailable to God. At other times, pride gets in the way. But when God uses an unlikely candidate to accomplish his work, there's no mistaking who gets the glory in that. You think about many stories in the Bible, how there was someone who came off the scenes, like David versus Goliath, where someone would look at David and he was disdained by his brothers. He wasn't old enough to fight in the battle. He wasn't worthy enough to do anything but keep those few sheep. But who was the one that God lifted up? It was the one that whose job was the little job inside the family, the job nobody else wanted. And I believe that someday when we stand before Christ, there's those that will get rewards who have done those jobs that nobody else wanted to do. I believe there's a spot that there's people serving maybe in another area, another part of the world that does not get the recognition of some of the bigger missionaries, does not get the recognition of some of the bigger people or the pastors in the area, but there's somebody who's been serving the Lord and does it faithfully day after day, week after week, year after year. That's who God's going to bless. And I believe the same thing in a church. I think God gives to who much is given, much is required. And I have a lot to answer for as a pastor and the responsibilities I have. But I think we all have certain responsibilities. What have I done with the gifts God's given me? And the person who fills the cup of water, the person who cleans the toilet, the person who teaches that Sunday school class week after week, but they do it to the best of their ability. They're not doing it halfway saying, well, if I was preaching, I would spend more time to study. If I was singing specials, singing a solo, I would work harder at my singing. No. They're doing the best they can with the talents that God has given them because that's the gifts that God has given them. And there is a myth about the members. There's a myth, the idea that only certain jobs are really important and everybody else is just there to help. No, God's plan and God's given each of us a job and a responsibility that's important, and we should learn to strive together. I know we got to get going a little bit for time here. There is a ministry among the members. Look what it says in verses 25 and 26. There is a ministry among the members that there should be no schism in the body. Now, what does that word schism talking about? Talking about there should be no division. What the devil does, he likes to divide a church. He likes to subtract from a church. God likes to add to a church and likes to multiply to a church. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now look what it says. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And what the scripture is saying there is that you're part of a family, you're part of a body, and that when you go through something, your body goes through it with you. And then when you receive honor, it goes... You know, sometimes people get jealous. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, when one of our young people go and do something and serve the Lord, I think it's something that rejoices in the fact that the church was, they were part of our church, and they you know, we rejoice in them. It drives me crazy when people are jealous of one another because they get a chance to serve. And I've seen that happen before. You said, Pastor, that doesn't happen. It does happen. I've had people say, I wish I had your job. I was like, and then I had somebody tell me, more than one lady over the years has said, I wish I had your wife's job. And I'm thinking, oh. And she says, she gets to be in charge of so much and this and that. And then I was like, you don't even know what you're asking about. First of all, you're stuck with me. That's the worst thing in the world. Unfortunately for my wife, I'm her husband, I'm her pastor, and I'm her boss. She's like, I can't get away from you. So, in every area, it seems like. But at the same time, there's people that the devil tries to subtract and cause division. He tries to take away from the church. God wants to add to the church. That's why he's saying there should not be a schism. There's something that we should be working together. And that when someone's suffering, we suffer with them. We feel their hurt. We feel their pain. Hey, Pastor, I don't. Well, then you're missing your spot. It says it right here in the scriptures. This is part of being a part of a body of Christ. We care for one another. We're there for one another. We when someone gets honored, we're excited with them. We don't say, oh yeah, you did that because of me. No, we're excited for how God used them and blessed them. But when someone's going through something, we're there for them. We're praying for them. We're helping when God speaks to our heart to be a blessing to them. It's the ministry. There's a ministry to one another among the members. And when you become a part of a church, it's something that's there to minister to one another. It's not to just be a taking it all in. It's also about being a giver. And there's givers in life and there's takers in life. And unfortunately, the takers many times have not understood this important principle. The church is not just here to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's there to help you get involved so you can be a part of it, so you can be there among the, once again, the bodies are there to get to work together as a ministry. So get involved. And the next thing is there is a master above the members. Look what it says in verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now, when we think about the body of Christ, we remember who is Christ. Christ is the head of the body. Think about what it says in Ephesians. And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So he is the head of all things over the church. Also, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So let's remember this important point. There is a master that's above the members. Now, God gives the pastor the responsibility to be the overseer. He is the under-shepherd of the church. But there is one that is above all, and that is Jesus Christ. And he's the one. He's the master above the members. It's not us picking and choosing. Hey, I'm moving up from the hand position up to the head position. No, it's not. I'm tired of being the ear. I want to be the eye. There is one who is in charge, and there's one who we serve for, and that is Jesus Christ. There's also a mission that's available to the members. Look what it says in 28 through 31. And he has said in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers, or miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? He says, look, there's a lot of different things. And yes, there's different maybe levels of authority and things like that, but they're all important is what the whole scripture is saying. And it says in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, the Bible is not written with the divisions, but look what it says in chapter 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Most of us recognize this chapter 13. It's the love chapter, the charity chapter. What the scripture is saying, look at all these guys that might have these gifts and these abilities, and people look at them and say, those are so important. And he says, look, it's nothing wrong with coveting the best gifts. There's nothing wrong with desiring to serve and be used the greatest way by God. But he says, there's a more excellent way. There's a greater way than all the gifts. And then he talks about in chapter 13 is that we learn to love one another. That it all puts in perspective that if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That no matter what gift you have, if you do not do it with a heart of love for the Lord and a heart of love for one another, it's all worthless. And he keeps on going, and he says, and though I had the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, so I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So what the scripture is saying, okay, we're all members. Get over yourself. It's we work under God and we work together. Don't be comparing one another. You're there to help one another. And if you do it with the right spirit, you're going to accomplish something. But if you take the gifts that God's given you and your membership and the part of the body of Christ that you have, and you do it in the wrong way, guess what's going to happen? It's not going to profit anything. So it's not about us. It's about the one we serve. And as we're striving together, it is as a body of Christ. Guess as we want our hands and our feet to work together, and I don't know how many times I've sat in a room with an elderly person, maybe at a nursing home, and says, I'm telling my feet to move and they just won't move. And how frustrating that is and how hard that is. And I'm telling my arms to do this and that, and they just won't do what I want them to do. I'm thinking it, but it just won't happen. And the frustration comes on them. And I'm thinking with the body of Christ that God's given us hands and feet. And there's people that just say, not going to do it. And how frustrating it must be for what he wants to accomplish here and amongst other churches. A preacher put it this way, and I thought this was good, and we'll end with this. Every believer has some gift, therefore all should be encouraged. We all have some type of gift. We should all be encouraged. Remember, God's one that has given us the gift. No one has all the gifts, therefore all should be humbled. No one has every single gift. There are people that I think have multi-talented, multi-gifts, and they have a lot to answer for someday. All gifts are for the body, therefore all should be harmonious. All gifts are for the Lord, therefore all should be contented. All gifts are mutually helpful, therefore all should be faithful. All gifts promote the whole body's health, therefore none can be dispensed with. All gifts depend upon the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Therefore, none should be out of fellowship with him. Think about it. All gifts are given by the Lord. It is God's will that every saint should be a servant and every member should be a minister. And we should be contributing to the health of the body of Christ. All of us should be doing something. We should all have our parts. And the crazy thing is we don't get to pick and choose. We like to think we get to pick and choose. Well, I'm going to teach this class, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. God's given you a gift, and according to what the scriptures say, there's a gift and a job that he wants you to do. It's finding out God's will and then doing it. And if we're going to strive together as the body of Christ, don't be comparing yourself one another. Well, if I can't do this, then I'm not going to do the things that God's made me to do. And sometimes there's a learning process and there's a growth process. There's growing. But don't ever underestimate the job that you have here. The importance that you have of the responsibility you have now. Yes, someday it may change, but if you don't do your job now, something's suffering and something is hurting, and it's not going to reach its full potential. And we don't want to be the one that's going to cause our church to reach its full potential. More importantly, we don't want to be the ones that's not going to please the Lord with our lives, because it says, as it pleased him. So don't write off serving the Lord. Instead, find what God's enabled you to do and gifted you to do, and then do it with all your might. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know what I should be doing. There's simple things that we can all do. We can start there and let God work and do something, and God continue to work. But sitting by the sidelines, I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. There's always something we can be doing to serve the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this lesson. I thank you for these verses. It's practical. Puts it right to the spot where we can understand it. Sometimes we're jealous, and sometimes we want to be doing something else. And because of that, we allow the devil to convince us we don't need to do anything. But instead, Lord, help us to focus on you. Help us to see the unity that's given as a miracle by the Holy Spirit. Only God could take all these different people of all these different personalities and put them together to do a certain work for the cause of Christ. Help us to understand the importance of following after you and embracing the way that God has made us when it comes to our spiritual lives, growing the gifts that God is giving us, making us better at those things, recognizing those gifts, and then continuing on to serve you. Lord, help us to be there for one another. Help us not to drop the ball in our area, but continue just serving to the best of our ability. Help us not to grow weary in well-doing, but continue on just serving and serving. Lord, thank you for how good you are to us. Help the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.